Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
It's showtime, fellas. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
We got studios in Tampa, Atlanta. The country outside of Atlanta and Portland.
Ooh. You know what?
That's a dollar bills, y'all.
I know. You know, it's funny because we started out the show pretty explosive. Rob's ear should be itching because there's a certain bet that was not put on the topics, but apparently, you know, we definitely wanna talk about that. And Gary, what did you say Rob better have for this bet that he lost?
You know, Rob was gracious enough to call me, and we talked about it, and I think it's great because we've been needing an excuse to get together anyway. Mm-hmm. But what I told Andre is, you better bring your platinum card.
Come on, Gary.
He said platinum card. Oh, man. That's why I pulled out the money to you. I was like, that's what Rob would have to have.
Oh, man.
Five course meal.
So that basically is telling me. That basically is telling me I'm going to have a platinum card soon, so I'm going to continue to speak that into my life.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
That court for coach if you want. That's fine, too. I'm okay with that. I think you better be glad that he's not asking for New York Met Knickerbocker tickets. Mm.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, yeah, they wild in New York.
Don't underestimate them.
Yep. You know, we're excited to, again, have another episode of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Again, it is May the 18th, gentlemen. Things are flying by for this month. And
yeah,
we got a lot of things to talk about. We are definitely on the NBA track, if you will. So we got a lot of things to discuss. As always,
my God.
Let's reach out to the fellas. JQ, how are you feeling, ZD, man?
Hello.
I mean, I was good. Then Gary started talking trash to me, and I guess I had to go close my door to make sure the girls and Erica don't come down here and yell at me like they did the last time we talked about Andy Dolly.
I saw you right to close the door.
Hey,
I was like, oh, it's about
to be serious. No, Gary is the new habitual line stepper here.
It's all good. You know, this is what happens when you cheer for two Western Conference teams. It's always in the thick of it. I honestly did. I looked over and said, oh, shit, the door is open. I can go close that before I get cut down again. But I'm good, man. I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, man, it was all calm. It was funny. It was all calm. And then I was talking to Gary. I was like, you know, Rob, you know, he was pretty gracious. He's like, yeah, but I got to tell you, Rob didn't say anything about the bet, but, you know, I was kind of instigating that one. That was pretty funny. So, again, we're excited to get, because there's no mention of it for any of the topics, but it's all good. Right,
hey.
Rob, what's up, sir?
Hey, I reached out, and, you know, I don't think our listeners want to hear about that. It was just more so I reached out via text message, and now I'm just waiting for Gary to see where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Gary, Curtis,
what do you got?
Okay. Go get those Knickerbocker tickets.
go since it's like,
Yeah, they tripping hard.
Welcome, Lou again. Lou's on the show representing the New York side, as always. So we'll see how that plays out because the Knicks play against my Atlanta Hawks, and I know the Knicks are very excited. So I'm definitely predicting the Hawks to pull this off. But no offense, Lou, but, you know, that's just we're
waiting
for
this, man. Untaken.
Wait and see.
No offense to
It'll be a great series, and I know both teams are excited to be in the playoffs. We're going to talk about this in a quick second. So, you know, I know it's been a long time. The lights will drop it. But, gentlemen, let's throw the numbers out really quickly, as always. The 424-243-9519. Call that number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Last but not least, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man, or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. We post a lot of good stuff. I think there's another mock draft. I think there's an updated mock draft that was posted by Rob, if I'm not mistaken. Appreciate you as well. So let's jump right into this, and we are right in the thick of the NBA play-in games, and we got a lot of things to discuss. We're going to let JQ kick this off because we've got two playing games, if you will. And so, JQ, what say you on these playing games and whatnot, if you will?
Well, I say we have one playing game that's going on right now. The Celtics up 100-88 because, damn, what the Pacers did to the Hornets earlier today was a complete whooping. I did
that was a
not
mess.
See that coming. Yeah, I really thought that the Hornets, even if they didn't win, I thought it'd be a much closer game, with especially with the Pacers without Caris LeVert. But Sabonis, they just went plump off on the Hornets. But if you want to be honest with yourself, this play-in tournament is for teams like the Hornets, right? You want to make sure they don't tank and they want to actually be able to see some regression in their season. You see LaMelo get hurt and come back. The fact that they made it, I know it's the East. But, you know, you can look at that in this small piece of it as small steps for the Hornets. Nobody had any really expectation for them to make the playoffs this year anyway, and or if they did make any noise in the playoffs, then both they would be fodder for the number one seed as the eighth seed. So I'm not, you know, I give them a little, you know, congratulations for making it this far. Ooh, I didn't expect them to get the doors blown off like that by the Pacers. But if the Pacers are out LeVert long term, still, they're going to get in there and get whooped. It is what it is. But I'm not so shocked at this Wizards score, considering how Westbrook and Bill have been playing with no Jaylen Brown. I'm surprised if they didn't come out with a little bit more Jason Tatum is going plumb off in this game. He's been assistant to Walker as well. So if I'm being honest with you, these are two surprise games for me today, and I hope these are the two surprise games for all the play-ins because I don't want no goddamn surprises tomorrow. So I'm here for the surprises happening tonight.
Wow. What's up, you, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, he hit it on the head with that earlier game today. I mean, the Pacers, man, that was just a straight-up dump trunking, what they did to the Hornets.
And, what was that, monkey stomp, Jakey? Monkey stomp?
Oh, yeah, monkey stomp.
Monkey
there
stomp.
We go. They got monkey stomp. But, you know, as JQ mentioned, that's a good point that, you know, these play-in tournaments are for a team like the Hornets. You know, I know there's a lot of debate going on. Is this good for the league? Is it not good for the league? I like it, actually. It brings a little bit of a March Madness feel to it, you know, just for 1 week because it's, you know, especially the 9 versus 10, it's one and done. You lose, you're out of the tournament. And, you know, the loser of this Wizards-Celtics game still got another shot, you know, against the Pacers to still make the playoffs. So, you know, it brings a little March Madness feel to it. I thought it had brought a lot of meaningful games toward the end of the regular season. And
I agree.
I mean, you saw the Lakers on the last game on Sunday night. I mean, they had all their guns going just to hopefully get a 6th seed, even though they still wound up with the 7th seed. So I think it brought a lot of meaningful basketball toward the end of the season. So I like it, you know. Just like in the NFL, there was a lot of debate on adding that 17 to the playoffs. And even though it technically hurt my Saints, I still liked it. The Saints would have had a bye week in being a number 2 seed, but they had to play in the first round this past year. But I still liked it overall as a fan. So I know there are a lot of people saying with the teams that don't like it are the ones that got to play in it. But, you know, but ultimately.
Well, you knew you weren't going to get agreement with everybody with this one. I mean, you know, some people, you know, some teams are complaining, but that is kind of, well, I don't know if I can use the term meaningless, but, you know, we don't want to make it look like the college NCAA tournament where you have, you know, the playing games and the 199 teams getting in. You know, I don't think you may want to resort to that kind of level, and that's what maybe some of these teams were thinking, like, well, why should they even be here? I mean, you know, it was an abnormal season, and, you know, they thought this was the best way, you know, that, you know, they can resolve it from last year and whatnot. So I get the reason behind it, but at the same time, I can get why some of the players are complaining, like, yeah, do we really need this? Come on, really? So it kind of goes, I think it kind of goes both ways.
Yep.
If y'all think I'm crazy,
like it.
I think
it's good for the league, and then, you know, obviously the marquee matchup is tomorrow night, the Warriors and the Lakers, right? I mean, to get a matchup like that, and you got to look at this Warriors team, man. They've been 15-5 in the last 20 games. They're, I think, either the best or the second-best record in the last 20 games in the Western Conference. So it's a really scary matchup. I still, if the Lakers are healthy, I still like
the Lakers.
Don't count anybody out.
This is going to be very interesting.
But I think the Warriors are going to give them a heck of a game. I think that's going to be a heck of a game. I think I'm going to stay up and watch it, too. I mean, I think it's, you know, that type of matchup. If you got Curry and LeBron on the same floor together, to me, it's worth staying up for to watch.
Well,
and I may pay for it the next morning. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be an exciting matchup here.
How concerned are you about the Lakers? I mean, you know, LeBron and AD haven't really been, you know, 100% healthy, you know, of course. So is that going to play a factor into this game, or do you think Lakers are going to strive through it?
Well, I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'm going to talk about the game that's going on right now. The game that's going on right now with, you know, Boston and Washington. Early today, I kind of thought Washington was going to handle business here. I really did.
Yeah, I did too.
Where the Boston teams had been up and down, up and down. I'm a little surprised, but they're handling business at home. As far as the Lakers game, you know, the Lakers are the toughest team in the West. Of course I'm not rooting for the Lakers. You know, I'm rooting for the upset. And it would be a monumental upset if Golden State the Lakers. I think the Lakers are favored, and they're a stronger team. But
monumental.
Go Warriors. Never thought I would say go Warriors, but go Warriors.
Yeah.
I want to know what you guys think of the San Antonio game. What do you guys think on the San Antonio Memphis game?
San Antonio Memphis.
Yeah, I like Memphis in that too.
Like John Morant, and it's tough. I'll let Rob talk and Curtis as well, because, you know, interesting, because you do have to watch for the Spurs, man, because, again, you know, you got a great coach and, you know, Greg Popovich, you know, so you never know if he's going to pull some stuff out too. So, but I do like, you know, Memphis's, you know, you like the backcourt, you like what's happening with John Morant and whatnot too. So it just seems like it's, you know, you see how that matchup plays out. Go ahead, Rob. I didn't mean to cut you off, man.
No, I totally agree. I like Memphis in that matchup. I just think they have more athletes on the floor. And, I mean, you're right, Greg Popovich. You know, a lot of times in these one-game scenarios like this, the coaching comes in handy.
Scary.
I expect to see a much closer matchup than we saw tonight in a 9-10 matchup. I think the Spurs hang in there. They play tough. But I like the Grizzlies in the end, and I like John Morant to pull it out. I look for about a 3-5-point victory. And I really think both of the games tomorrow night is going to be close matchups. I really do. But I think the Lakers and the Grizzlies will pull them out, but I look for them to be a close matchup.
Well, we were talking about March Madness,
I tell you what, the Lakers better hope that Steph Curry doesn't go back to Davidson and light the world up. Boy, that's when I first saw Steph Curry. I think that's when we all first saw Steph Curry, when he was in that tournament with Davidson.
Babyface Assassin.
And they jumped right off the team. And I wonder, and I hope, but you know, people, I hope the Lakers don't have a built-in excuse. And that's what they're going to say if they lose in any part of this. They didn't have enough time to rest. They didn't have enough time to get healthy. They got an old guy and a good old guy. I hope they don't got that built in to this playoff game. But it looks like they do.
Yeah, I was giving JQ a hard time, but again, just Steph Curry's been playing on fire, like you talked about last couple games, man. Just bringing back some old Steph Curry magic with those definite scoring just explosions, if you will, too. And like I said, it's going to be a really interesting game to see that plan. And like you said,
should be
a great matchup. And we're going to talk about what happened because we kind of think that maybe the Clippers tanked so that they couldn't face the Lakers. We'll talk about that. But we do want to get into a couple situations, too. I do want to talk about a couple of NBA kind of, some thoughts about the most valuable player this season, the most improved player, as well as the NBA Rookie of the Year. And I think you have some ideas as far as Rookie of the Year being, LaMelo, if you will. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts, and then we'll talk about JQ's thoughts that the Clippers did tank to avoid the Lakers, if you will. So leave us off with that, JQ. Your thoughts on all those.
Well, I mean, they're never going to say that, right? I think they looked up and said, okay, at least first round. What we can't have happen is for anything bad to happen as it happened last year. So what's the best spot for us? So if we drop here, I think they did Dallas, right, in the 4-5 matchup. So they said, yeah, we can beat Dallas from down last year. We're good to go with that new chip spot where they may. So I don't think it was just a L.A. piece. I think they just identified Dallas and was like, yeah, those guys we can beat in the first round, so let's play them first, and then we'll worry about everything else later. So that's what I mean. I don't think it was just a Lakers thing either. I really don't. I think they saw a way to manipulate the fans themselves in the first round, and they're taking them round by round. Because, again, I mess with Gary. I give Gary a lot of hard time. Those Portland Trailblazers played their ass off down the stretch to keep that sixth spot. They saw they had people on their butt, and they just went nuts. I was out watching that game so they could put the Portland game on the other TV. And then once that Portland game started, I said, all right, you cut that off. Because, Lord have mercy, they are running Denver out the gym. So, to me, I think it's just the Clippers saying, hey, there's a team we know we can beat in the first round. Let's go play them.
Sure, Rob.
Yeah, as JQ mentioned, yeah, they're going to never admit it. And but it's obvious the way they rested players here down the stretch. They didn't want any part or two or three seed to run the risk against playing the Lakers. So they dropped to a 4, right? So to make sure they don't have to play the Lakers in the first round. I've always come to – if you have an opportunity to get a higher seed, you play for that higher seed so you can have home court advantage longer throughout the playoffs. But in this particular case, they rested players that were healthy and dropped. So to me, it's pretty obvious. I mean, Tyronn Lue won't admit it. The Clippers won't admit it. But it's pretty obvious they didn't want anything to do with the 2 or 3 seed. And so they dropped to a 4 to make sure that they don't have to play the Lakers. And so it's unbelievable. Yeah, they didn't want to run that risk. And it's going to be interesting. I like the Clippers against Dallas overall. And but Luka, you can't doubt him. And heck of a player, one of the best in the business. That Denver and Portland series is going to be really interesting. You know, I think a couple of weeks ago on the show, I mentioned that I didn't think Denver was a title contender. because they didn't have Jamal Murray. But Michael Porter Jr., man, he has really stepped up his game since Jamal Murray's been out. So he's been playing at another level. And, you know, I still think they're going to miss Murray here in the playoffs. But, you know, I could see them winning a series or two possibly here in this playoffs, the way they're playing right now, the way Michael Porter Jr. is playing. But that Denver-Portland series is going to be a really good one.
Don't make Gary's heart pressure go up anymore, Gary.
No. As far as MVP, I still think it's the Joker. He would be my pick right now for MVP. As far as most improved players, Julius Randle's played his ass off this year.
Yeah.
He's
my pick too.
5 assists or 6 assists or whatever, but he hit clutch shots, the big games, and he would be my pick. And I think the Denver series is going to be a good one. You know, I like the way I watched. I wanted to really see how Nurk, after he got, you know, he took a few games to get his feet underneath him, how he was going to play against the Joker. And he played really well against the Joker. And so did Cantor. And I think our two-headed monster at center can offset that. I think that we can win the series, and I think that we can win that series in 6 games. I think it'll be a good series. What do you think, David?
I think it's going to be nervous, and it's going to be nervous being hungry. He missed out the last time that the Blazers beat the Nuggets on their way to the NBA Western Conference Finals. He was hurt all through that. And I've always got on radio here in Portland, and I've always thought, if I was coaching Nurkic, I would be in Nurkic's ear. Look, they passed me up for that guy. They passed me up for that Nurkic guy. ASS. Make them sorry that they passed up on you. Make them be sorry that they made the decision they made.
The big key in that series with the Joker going against Yusuf Nurkic is foul trouble for Nurkic. If he can stay out of foul trouble and stay on the court, because what's happened in past years is he gets a couple of quick fouls on him, trying to be over-aggressive with that guy from Denver, and ends up sitting on the bench and then gets out of the game. He can stay in the game, stay out of foul trouble, play smart. That's what I was worried about in this last matchup, if that was going to happen. He ended up doing just fine in that matchup. So
he's got a great backup.
Yeah.
He's got a great backup. Somebody else that I think helps the Blazers out, that trade they made, and that pal, that guy seems to have gotten the percentage on their shot up. These guys are hitting at a high percentage. Denver's in a lot of trouble. They are. Denver's in a lot of trouble. And if the Portland can get together, like they did the last time they looked at the Western Conference Finals, and I think they will. Denver's done a lot of things.
Yeah, you mentioned the most improved player in the NBA, Julius Randle. I totally agree with that. He has been flat out phenomenal. It just seems like he gets better and better every year since he's been in the league. So he's become a major piece and a major force with that team. Another sleeper candidate, Jordan Clarkson from Utah. He may be the sixth man of the year, but he may be a candidate for sixth man of the year and come most improved player. I mean, he is just the microwave off the bench, the way he just comes in, lighting it up. And so he's another guy, but he may be more of a candidate for sixth man of the year. But MVP, the Joker, definitely a strong candidate, but I'm going to go with Joel Embiid. The difference he makes with that Sixers ball club, the attention that he causes, I'm going to go with Embiid I know he missed 2 weeks of the season, but Joel Embiid, the Joker, is definitely a candidate. I mean, you can make a case for Devin Booker in Phoenix as well, quietly. You don't hear his name much, but you can certainly make a case for him. But I'm going to pick Embiid. He will be my pick, but I think ultimately most people, most of the writers are going to pick the Joker, I believe. But Embiid will be my pick. I think he's the biggest difference. The Sixers, they could lose one or two other players on that team, and they're still going to be a force with Embiid. They lose Embiid, they're done. I mean, they won't have a shot. But you can say the same about Denver. They lose the Joker, they're done too. But I'll still go with the slight edge with Embiid for MVP. And then Rookie of the Year is LaMelo Ball. I know the kid from Georgia has been making a run toward the end of the year. You're not hearing much about it because Minnesota wasn't really much into it down the stretch here. But I'm going to still go with LaMelo Ball for Rookie of the Year.
That's a good call. There's some strong candidates for there's some definitely strong candidates. I think for the most improved player last year, I think your boy, Brandon Ingram for the Pelicans, won it, made him an all-star. We like Julius Randle just because statistically he did good and what his impact to the Knicks. You know, I like your sleeper. I also like Michael Porter Jr., believe it or not, as a sleeper for that, for most improved player. We think that the Riders will pick Randle, but, again, I think that Porter will get some votes. Definitely like you talked about, Rob, Rookie of the Year, LaMelo, runaway. I think Tyrese Halliburton played really well for the
He's like an obvious choice.
He got hurt, too. So, but, yeah, LaMelo's going to do good. Anthony had a strong little end, but we're probably thinking that's going to happen as well, too. I hope some way that Steph will get some votes for MVP, but we do know the Joker's going to get that as well. We like Embiid as well for some people, but, again, that's kind of what we're looking for that. We talked about the Clippers, the tank, all that fun stuff. Let's talk about your mock draft, Rob, and then we'll kind of switch to baseball because we've got 30 minutes left in the show here. So go ahead with that, Rob.
All right. Let me get my notes pulled up here. I'm sorry. I should have been ready.
Stay ready so you have to be ready.
This hot chocolate tasting good over here, man.
Man, you over making a meal. Come on.
Hmm?
Who are you making a meal in there? Rob, cooking up in the kitchen.
Oh, man, I'm holding up the show here, you guys.
No, do you agree with everything, by the way?
All right. So, yeah. I'll tell you what, my top five is not – I'm sorry. My top five
has changed
one bit.
But it's all good.
We still got Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga. Just about every NBA scout has them as the top five. You can juggle those different slots, but just about everybody agreed that those are top five players in the draft. So the draft will probably start at the number six spot, and I have Golden State taking Keon Johnson, the shooting guard from Tennessee. Scotty Barnes, the long arm defender from Florida State, have him going seven. And Moses Moody, a shooting guard from Arkansas, have him going eight. Davion Mitchell, who was flat-out stud in the NCAA tournament for Baylor, have him going number nine right now. And he may be one of the best lockdown defenders to come out of college since Drew Holiday. He is a real strong on-the-ball defender. He showed that to you in the national championship game against Gonzaga, too. I'll skip around a little bit. One of the better shooters in the draft, Corey Kispert from Gonzaga. Have him going number 11. And JQ's favorite school, Michigan, Franz Wagner, have him going number 13 to Indiana.
I see.
And
JQ.
And you got to watch. You got to watch down under in Australia, man. Josh Giddey, you know,
yes,
get an opportunity to go on YouTube and see some footage of him. 6'8" point guard with handles, great vision. So he may be a guy that can climb in this draft coming out of Australia. I have him going number 14 right now in the draft. Andre, I got the Hawks taking Yusman Garuda, power forward from Spain. He's about 6'9", 245 pounds. An elite defender, pretty good rebounder. You know, some scouts even compare him to Ben Wallace, so we'll see. I mean, that's, you know, that's a pretty big comparison to compare a player to that. He's still a little raw offensively, but he's got all the tools to be a great rebounder and defender in the NBA. I got the Lakers taking Cam Thomas, shooting guard from LSU at 22, to keep him in purple and gold. Sharif Cooper, lightning-fast point guard from Auburn, got him going number 23. And Chris Duarte, shooting guard from Oregon, has him going number 24. IU Dosunmu, wing player from Illinois, have him going number 27. Guy who I think would be a real strong wing player in the NBA. And then De'Ron Sharp, 6'11", big man from North Carolina, closed out the first round at number 30. You got to work on your form, Andre.
Anytime you talk about some of the great vision, reminds me of myself, man. That's what I'm going to say, man. Great vision, man. Let's keep it going, man. Hey, let's keep it going. Hey, is there another?
I was on a basketball court this morning. Early
awesome.
In the morning.
I was gonna tell you,
yeah,
like,
drink the water. So he's out there on the basketball court.
Hey,
it's
Gary must be telling a lie because I couldn't hear what he said.
I was going to say really quickly, well, I'll let you guys get your thoughts in on the mock draft, but, you know, I was going to say that I wasn't too happy with Onyeka Okongwu for the Hawks, but he's actually been playing really well. I would have wanted for us – I kind of liked, you know, obviously Tyrese Haliburton. I figured we needed a kind of a backup point guard for Trey, so we didn't really want – we wanted to go with the veteran, so – I'm going to ask if there's a 6'8 point guard in the draft somewhere to kind of like, you know, complete that Warriors light on the Hawks side here, just having that kind of Sean Livingston type of player. But I guess we'll see how that plays out.
Giannis Giddey from Australia.
The playoffs, so. Yeah, hope so. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
That's who I like.
Kay Cunningham, but, you know, Kay Cunningham not falling that far.
Yeah, Kay is going to be gone. Yeah, he's going to be gone. That's just
right.
Like, yeah, whatever. Right. Yeah. So, JQ, are you cool with that as far as, you know, what Rob is putting out there? I know he likes to give you some hard times with Michigan, if you will, but, yeah.
No. And it's so early in it right now, you know. It is hard for me with basketball, only because of the whole one and done. You know, he's definitely forgotten, bro. Like, you see him, then they're gone, then you got to relearn all these things all over again, at least for me, to see him play, you know, in the upcoming season. So I'm going to go with it, you know, as we get through this next basketball season, I'm sure I'll have some thoughts about it.
Yeah. There it is. We'll see you, Gary Curtis. You like that?
I can't argue with him. I thought there was maybe some Oregon guys that could have got a little closer to the first one. But, again, Oregon was a class of the – well,
yeah.
UCLA ended up being the class of the Pac-12. And I'm not sure. I thought Oregon might have some better players.
Well, Chris Duarte from Oregon, he's a guy that really shined in the NCAA tournament. So he's that one guy that from Oregon that will be a first-round pick. And right now, I think I mentioned him. I think I got him at number 24. Yeah, going to number 24 going down there playing with the Houston Rockets.
Yep. Gary?
Houston got like three first-round picks in this draft.
Yeah.
Only three, yeah.
Wait till Oklahoma City starts knocking out those, what,
15,
like,
20 picks? Yeah.
Yeah, they got like a gang of first-round picks. They're the team that intrigues me the most because I think
they got
like
two in this draft.
Yeah, I think they've got two for like the next seven drafts or seven of the next 10 drafts. They got two first and two seconds.
Yeah.
Like, it's ignorant.
Yep. They got two first-round picks in this draft.
Oh, gosh. Good stuff. Gary, did you make your comment, sir? I didn't mean to, like, not cut you off, man. Make sure you're good, sir.
No, I'm fine with that. I think that thanks, Rob, for putting all that together for us, but it's a little early for it. Let's get through this playoff round before we start talking about that.
There it is. There it is. Rob's not too early NBA draft. hey, we're going to switch gears and talk a little baseball talk. And we talked about, I was going to text you guys that big move, what happened, and it's pretty surprising that Pujols, a team with Pujols and Mike Trout could not do any damage, and they just, it's crazy how the Angels weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, you know, again, so Pujols ends up, you know, getting released, if you will, and so now we have opportunity for him to join the freaking Dodgers. Like, they need any damn help.
Yeah.
But, how does this impact
Dodgers in third
the Dodgers,
place,
Rob? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. This is Richard. Go ahead,
well,
Rob.
Well, I mean, right now the Dodgers are pulling up the standings here. I believe they're still in third place here in the NL West. So, I mean, yeah, they're 2.5 games back behind the Giants, and they're a game and a half behind the Padres. Obviously, they got 2013 records. Yeah. So, I mean, they're still close. And but they have, I mean, Dodgers had a ton of injuries. I mean, Seager's been out. So, I mean, they need an extra bat. But I think ultimately, though, just signing Pujols from 41 years old, it's really for once the Dodgers are healthy to give them another pinch hitter late in ball games. That's the value he's going to bring to this team. I mean, I don't think they want Pujols playing every day at his age at this point in his career. But, you know, the value that he's going to bring is once all of their guys are healthy, that he gives them a pinch hitter down the stretch in ball games if they need somebody to come in and get a base hit or two or a clutch homer or something like that. That's where his value is going to be. So I think it's a solid move for the Dodgers in the long run, right, just to give them somebody that can come in and help them out down the stretch. But they don't want to play in every day.
I wouldn't play every day. I mean, he has time. He's pretty much done. I mean, I think he's lost his stuff. So I think it's taking a big risk on getting close to the Dodgers. I mean, if you really think that he's going to be the answer to give him another championship, I don't think so.
Well, here's the thing. I think really what happened to it, and Joe Maddon is trying to downplay what happened in that Angels clubhouse, but, you know, they benched him against a pitcher that he normally had really success against and didn't tell him in advance. And I think he just kind of blew up and was like, you know what, bro? You're not worth the headache no more. It's the last year of it. Think about it. They have to pay him that money anyway. And he's still cutting. So what does that say about some of maybe the other dynamics that may have been happening in behind the scenes? Like, that to me doesn't seem like that was a one-time thing. That seems to me of somebody who one of them was pushing more for playing, and they didn't handle it correctly. Or, you know, because given his stature, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, right? So I think there were some other things brewing. I'm more shocked that he didn't go to an American League team, which would give him a chance to even be able to DH on those days that he could not play in the field.
That's what I'm thinking
so
about.
Now they're going to the Dodgers. I feel like maybe he's actually seeing like, okay, I want to stay here. I don't want to uproot my family. They give me a chance to win the title. I can be a mentor. I can, like you said, I can pinch it. I can throw in for the first baseman when they see my need to blow, you know, and he goes through that piece. I think it was just a more of that marriage with him and the Angels. They did a great job up until now keeping that under the surface, right? But a dude you have to pay all that money to for this year anyway, and you're just cutting, and you still got to give him that check, leads you to believe that they have other things happening in the background before him.
Absolutely.
It's just basically he's there for situational baseball. Certain situations you're going to be in, you're ready for it. You know, I think it's a good move for him. I don't think it's a bad move for him at all. Bringing him
he actually updated his chance to win a ring because the Angels aren't going to win it. But the Dodgers, I mean, even still with two wild cards, they don't have a chance. They just started slow. But they have enough firepower to get back into it for sure.
Absolutely. They're only 2.5 games back.
Yeah. Oh, it's way too early.
That's not my
You can play. You can't win this pennant in May, but you can lose it in May if you fall too far behind.
Yeah.
Being one game behind is still being there. Yeah.
We've only played 25% of the baseball season, so there's a ton of baseball left to be played.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only played 41 games. Yep.
Nothing.
I don't necessarily think you can lose it this early unless you're like about 20 or 25 games out, which nobody is. Now, more likely you can lose them more like in August, but May?
No.
Highly
you can lose that shit in May. I'm a Reds fan. I got the Pirates in my division. You can lose that shit in May. You can look up and be 12 games back in the end of May and be done, depending on what division you are in.
No, because there's time to come back.
I'm telling you. It depends on your team. If you fall too far behind and you don't have the firepower to catch up, you're done. The Dodgers have the firepower to catch up, and they're only two games back. The Pirates being 15 games back at the end of May without the firepower to catch up, they are done in May.
I mean, see, the Rays is doing
I'm just saying, I've seen my Reds lose in May, so I'm just speaking from somewhere where I've seen it happen, where we didn't have the firepower to catch up. So you can definitely lose in May if you don't have that team where you're like, oh, that guy there I know can get to catch fire. So can he. Those two pitchers can go back to being those guys that we know they can be, and you can catch up. You can look at your clubhouse and be like, we don't have those guys in this clubhouse. We done. I guess you're playing for next year. Like, that's just true.
How about the American League?
I expect the Dodgers to be there. And who knows? We might be tired with their ring. And I think that's what he's looking for. And the Dodgers would be happy to give him that. So
yeah.
I think this works out for him. There's a way for him to step away from the corner.
Nice.
Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah. Good stuff. Father Time is undefeated. Gentlemen, we have a special appearance, guest appearance from I kind of wished it into existence. We got Naj is back. So, Naj,
hello.
It is great to hear from you, man. What's going on, sir?
Welcome back, brother.
Hey, same,
we
ain't
heard
man.
From
same.
You about
What's
over
going
a month
with y'all,
ago.
Man? Yeah, man, you know how it go, man. It's hard to catch up with y'all on the schedule, man. I don't know which night y'all be on, man. Y'all be moving. What's going on?
We try to keep it consistent on Tuesday. We'll try to stay on Tuesday unless otherwise noted. But, yeah, just
yeah, but
Tuesday's
even if y'all did keep it consistent on Tuesdays, I would still say that. So, you know, don't pay no attention to
that. Okay, you won't. You missed the topic stuff, man. We were talking about some NBA stuff with the play-in tournament, you know, what's happening with that. We talked about Albert Pujols. If you want to chat on that, and if not, we're going to switch on to Najee Harris going to the NFL. So if you want to comment on any of those, man, we'd love to hear your thoughts, man, because you always bring such a unique perspective, if you will, sir.
Well, you know, we can get a little philosophical. The new hole hit like Albert Pujols. Like, no, just messing with y'all. But I'm glad Pujols got a gig, man. You know what I'm saying? That's good. He got another job. Shout out to him. The Tebow thing is a disgrace. Urban Meyer should be ashamed of himself for bringing that ball
he
in there
pictures.
For all that
he
drama.
Got pictures. He got pictures, Nod.
I told y'all. No, Nod, I told them last week. That dude knows precisely where all the dead bodies are buried in Gainesville, Florida. He had to put that dude on the roster so they would not vacate those two national championships. He said, whatever you need, bro, anything I can almost sell, I got you on. You want to play tight end? Sold. Tyler Eifert, bye-bye. Come on, Tim Tebow. Listen, he's trying to keep some titles on his resume. I don't care what you say. I believe that to my soul. Tim Tebow knows where the bodies are buried, and he gave that dude a job so he would be quiet.
Oh my God.
He could give him a job on a coaching staff or something, man. Tim Tebow cannot play in the NFL anymore. He can't play tight end.
See,
get out of here, man.
But you get, it's like hope dreams. You give him that little bit of shot and the world seems to fail, and you go by go passing, and then you bring him onto the team as a coach or whatever, or he can go back to ESPN. Should we give him that chance to say, hey, all right. I'm telling you, that dude knows. He knows where Aaron Hernandez put the people in the ditch. He knows about where the Pouncey brothers get some stuff. He knows about all that stuff. And Urban Meyer is not playing with you in those two national championships at Florida. He's just I'm keeping them on the resume. Come on, Tim, I got you.
Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Dodge.
No, I mean, that's all I got to add on that. I mean, I think we all in agreement on the Tebow situation. What was the other topic you said?
Oh, we were just talking about the what's happening with the NBA playoffs here. You know, we had some play-in games and just kind of, you know, talking about that. And if we talk about the Rookie of the Year, the Most Improved Player, and the Valuable Player. So if you want to comment on any of those, that's cool. If not, we'll jump on to Najee Harris, if you will.
Oh, okay. Yeah, two beatdowns, man. We got two beatdowns tonight. It is what it is.
Yep.
this play-in tournament ain't going anywhere. This is locked in. They actually were able to get lucky enough to get a Golden State Lakers matchup, so the NBA ain't ever giving this back, bro. So we just gonna have to get used to this, man. The play-in tournament is what it is.
I like it. I said it earlier. I like it. I like the idea of it. It leaves us some meaningful basketball games in the end of the regular season. And like you said, we got a meaningful match. You got Curry and LeBron on the same floor in a play-in tournament. The NBA can't ask for anything better than that. In a one-game matchup, winner take all seven seeds. You can't ask for anything better than that. It gives a March Madness kind of feel to it.
Good ratings on that. That's going to be a great rating game, too.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think? Who do you think Phoenix is rooting for?
Who? I would guess
I think I was going to say the same thing. I would say Golden State if you've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you see LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Andre Drummond walk off the bus, you feel intimidated. Right from the start.
Yeah, I know I'm a homer, so I was just pointing that out to people who don't have the root interest that I have to see what you would say. Okay.
And if you think Chris Paul don't want to beat Steph Curry on a bad team and he's going to celebrate as if he won a championship, like, bro, that little angry man want his get back, bro. And he is really going to score.
Yeah. He still ain't got over that crossover dribble that put him on the floor.
Oh, my goodness, that's so ridiculous.
I love it. Good stuff. Good.
Does Phoenix have a shot? Let's see the Lakers win. If the Lakers win and get that number 7 seed, do they have a shot at beating the – does Phoenix have a shot at beating the Lakers?
No. Well, because of health, they got a shot. But
if the Lakers are healthy, I don't think they do.
You got somebody on that team that dropped 70 on the team. So if Devin Booker get hot on them, they got a shot. They got a dude that can fly out for the basketball. That's why the Lakers are so worried about the damn Warriors because of Steph Curry. If you got a dude that can just fill it up like that, you got a shot. That boy Devin Booker can play now.
I know. To me, an MVP conversation, but he's not there. But
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to undersell him.
If the Lakers, I'd be more worried about teams that have the guards. Because they're great now, you know, with LeBron and AD, and, you know, they're big in the middle. They're fine down there. I think where they're weak is they're defending the three, defending those guys out on the perimeter. You're not going to – who's that little white guy that
Caruso,
you know, he's not gonna be able to guard Steph Curry.
That's not gonna be
the matchup.
They're gonna switch.
If they play the Mavs next, that's also a matchup that they'll dominate in the paint. They'll dominate going to the hole. They're big. They'll dominate. I think it's the outside guard presence that they'll. I think that would be a good matchup. I'd still take the Lakers in that one as well.
Well, DeAndre Ayton's playing too, though. That's the thing for Phoenix, you know. So they got definitely a little bit more balance. They've got like a good matchup. They got, you know, Chris Paul, like you said, he's angry. Devin Booker is just freaking going off, if you will, too. So that's why they're a top seed, if you will. So you got to keep that in mind too, as far as that matchup.
Chris Paul's gonna hit somebody in the jewels. Just believe that. Like, he's gonna be the dirtiest version of Chris Paul. You know who that guy is. And he's willing to do anything to win, and we gonna see that. And as far as Dallas, I think Luka's gonna kick Dirk out of. I mean, Porzingis out of town, bro. However this playoff plays out, I think we end up seeing Luka getting Porzingis the hell up out of there.
Wow. Ooh, that's spicy. You think so?
I think he wants a better number two, man. That man's always hurt.
Okay.
Ain't really
he's always
consistent.
Hurt. You're right.
I think we can get to the final there this year.
I'm gonna tell you this about the Lakers.
Game.
One of the key. Oh, I'm sorry.
One game. Steph Curry goes for 55-60. Lakers will lose. One game.
Hey, I think Steph will feel like he's in high school. They're going to play boxing one. They're going to double him as soon as he can. Like, it's going to be the most disrespectful defense to the rest of his teammates we've seen in a long time. Just
they made it something like that. Yeah. They made it something like that.
I said this earlier in the show.
Boxing one.
The Warriors have been 15-5 in the last 20 games. But we talk, and Curry has been phenomenal. There's no question about it. But they got some dudes, man. I don't even know where they get them from, man. They got some dudes named Joe Bisco on their team, man. Some dudes I never heard of shooting three-pointers on their team, too. And you got to be careful with that. Well, I don't even know where they got some of these dudes from on that team, man. And I watched them a few times. But they got some other guys on that team that can shoot the basketball. I think the Lakers are going to win the game still. But I think the key for the Lakers, the key player for the Lakers, not just in tomorrow night's game, but throughout the playoffs, is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He's got to be the guy that he needs to score consistently 15 to 17 points in a lot of these games. And he's got to consistently knock down these open threes because he's going to get the looks because LeBron's going to draw double teams. AD is going to draw double teams. And Drummond is going to get 15 to 20 rebounds. So they're going to give second chance shots. But Caldwell Pope has got to be a big key, along with Dennis Schroeder, of course, as well, too. But Caldwell Pope has got to be a big difference for the Lakers if they want to, you know, get back to winning the title this year.
Agreed.
Nice. We all agree. Oh, goodness gracious. Let's talk about another quick much to JQ's dislike, we do want to talk about Najee Harris and how he's been looking pretty impressive for the Steelers. And JQ is shaking his head right now. But at least the fact is we can all agree that I think Najee Harris is a guy to root for. We talked about for his draft party. He did a draft party at a homeless shelter, which was amazing. So dude seems pretty humble, too. He made some great catches, and you know, he just seems like he's you talk about kind of a perfect fit for a perfect team. That's what's happened with Najee Harris. The Steelers needed a running back. He was right there. You know, you talk about like a no-brainer pick, and you're going to see, like, you know, obviously what's going to happen with the Steelers too. So you kind of hope for that gentleman to do well. And I know JQ may not want to speak on that just because being a not a fan of the Steelers. But, again, it's a situation where what a great pick for that particular franchise, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think he's a good dude for sure. But, yeah, once the Steelers call him, you know, he goes into the hate column. But, you know, they feel the need. I'm not sure if that offensive line took a step back a little bit last year. And so a lot of people put that on James Conner. He's not explosive as Najee Harris is, but they also have to, I think, feel a little bit better on the offensive line. We'll see if that works out. But I think Najee Harris is a stud. And I like the way he approaches the game. It's just, I hate I got to see him twice a year now for the next however long he stays in Pittsburgh. So, I hate on him because he's a Steeler, but I won't hate on that man's character and his talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might catch 80 balls, man. That fat man been checking down a lot lately, so I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. He's probably going to average 5 to 7 catches a game and probably 20 to 22 carries a game, too. So they're going to feed him. They're going to feed him the rock. And we talked about this, I believe, on last week's show, the one before that, about him being the offensive rookie of the year candidate. And I think he is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what's interesting, not only is the offensive personnel the Steelers excited about him, but the defensive personnel, and listening to him in some of the interviews, how excited they are, because they feel like he's going to be able to help them to get more rest on the field, just because they'll be able to grind it out a little bit more with Najee Harris. So listening to the defense, they have been really impressed with him so far. His work ethic, you know, the ability that he showed in mini camp so far. I know it's real early, right? But, you know, as we talked about this, it's easier for a running back or an elite wide receiver to come in to be offensive rookie of the year than a rookie quarterback is. And he's in that conversation. There's no doubt about it.
Well,
Curtis Garrett, what you got?
It's all going to depend on the offensive line. Any running back, you're as good as your offensive line. If your offensive line stays healthy, you know, they'll do well. If it doesn't, like anybody, you know, you get two or three offensive linemen out, now you're dealing with second stringers or third stringers. Or in Philadelphia's case, when they slaughtered the Cowboys in the last game of the season a couple of years ago with 45 practice squad players on the roster, you've got to have that deep in front of you for any good running back. The only running back really that I remember that did with so much less was, you know, Mr. Lyons, you know, Barry Sanders. He had that ability to do it with really very little cover. So I don't put this guy in any kind of a category like that, so we'll just see how that offensive line plays out, and they can protect him and the scheme. Steelers are one of those teams, though, that are, you know, they're good at selecting those guys, so I'm sure that he's going to be a stop with that, but, you know, it's that injury thing.
I never was a believer in the guy they had, that Carter guy. That Carter guy didn't even look right to me. And he was supposed to be their answer. I think he was their unanswered, their failure. Najee's a lot bigger, thicker, and set up to be that kind of back that Connor guy could not be, even though they were trying to get him in there. Just couldn't get him.
Nice.
Could not get
Connor. Nah, we got on that. Yeah, good.
So he's going to do a lot better than that guy.
No, I mean, I ain't got nothing to add. I think y'all said everything, man. I think James Conner was an average running back, and replacing him with a premium, really, really talented guy that we saw at Alabama do everything. So it would be no surprise if he is offensive rookie of the year. Like, that kid is really, really talented. So if that defense is what we expect it to be, we should see some big things this year.
There it is. Appreciate that. Woo! Man, well, gentlemen, I guess we're getting near the end here. So I don't know if there's a topic you wanted to discuss as we wrap up. I know we had a small little blurb about Ryan Kerrigan to the Eagles, getting picked up of that. We can save the NFC predictions.
You know what topic I want.
Next week. What's that? Uh-huh. Go for it. Go.
Well, first of all, you can't be getting high playing cards all night, you punk. Like Kwame Brown.
Uh-oh.
Like, this is
come on, Kwame Brown.
He's in decades where this dude who we never saw say anything his whole career, like, he just took one too many insults and snapped. He's cussing out everybody, threatening people, asking people
to
fight. Like, bro, this Kwame Brown thing is funny as hell. And this man is not of the age to be calling people young punks and telling them to pull up their pants. How is he 60 years old? Like, bro, this is the funniest thing I've seen in years, dude. I'm enjoying this part.
Yes.
Of
did you see the second one when he started singing on him? Oh, my goodness. When he started singing, talking about Matt Barnes, listen, that's somebody that has heard people talk about him for the last 15 years, and he just snapped. And Matt Barnes and Stack was in his eyesight. And if you haven't seen it, oh my God, Bobby Brown has like two separate videos.
Man.
He goes completely in on Matt Barnes mostly. He talked about Stack a little bit, but he stayed most of Matt Barnes and his worthless too.
Matt Barnes, Becky with the good hair, right? That's what he called
Becky
Matt Barnes.
With the good hair, yes.
Oh,
yes. He said, let me get... You're
stacking
a piece of gas,
but
you're
going to
get your kids
from
Derek Fisher.
Oh, my God.
And he's 7 foot, ladies and gentlemen, 60, so you don't really want to fight him. So, I mean, well, what do you do? Like, it's ridiculous.
You can't say it.
No.
Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for
God.
Tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to have a brief OT portion for you all to tune into. You may be able to click on it for the rest of the week as we wrap up our final comments here in the OT portion. We'll be back on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time in the D.C. area. It'll be 10 p.m. in Chi-Town. Yeah, send me some deep dish pizza in Chi-Town. It's going to be 9 p.m. in Albuquerque, and then the Jackson, Mississippi of California, Fresno, is going to be 8 p.m. In Pacific Standard Time. So we'll be back at you next Tuesday night, people. Good night.
Rob is the best, man. He's a full-blown follower. Oh, man, I got nothing. I had almost forgotten about the Kwame Brown. I've been actually talking to my friends about this on text message all day, and it might be one we need to revisit next week because they told me he played 12 years, so he wasn't a bust. I said, man, Kwame Brown is a bust, bro. His portfolio still says McDonald's High School All-American on it. Yeah, no All-Stars, no NBA teams on it. I was like, if you went number one overall, you are a bust for all care how many years you played in the league. So you can put that one on.
Michael Jordan still made that pick.
Man, listen, if you haven't seen it, he goes completely in on them. It is the best. Thank you for bringing that up. I almost forgot about it for the show.
Dude, as a teenager, you were berated by Michael Jordan. Then as a grown man, you had to be berated by Kobe Bryant. Like, he's mentally cooked, man. You can't handle that. Nobody can handle that, man. That's why you need therapy.
Oh, man. I'm going to be y'all crazy.
Wow. I don't think I have anything on that. I got nothing, man. I don't have anything, man.
Dude, your two years of life were calling you all kinds of punks and sauce and MFs and like, dude.
Oh, man.
Imagine what that means to somebody, man.
Oh, it's worth it. It's worth listening to. He got some stuff off his chest.
Does anybody know, have they announced the team for Hard Knocks this year?
Not yet.
I have not.
Mm-mm. They have not.
But
nice.
I got an idea who they might pick, though.
What's that?
Nod's already said it. Jacksonville.
Probably.
Yep.
They're going to want to see Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Not Tim Tebow. Not Tim Tebow.
It's true. And, of course, Trevor Lawrence, but he's right. That's going to be a ratings bonanza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. That's it.
I hope they don't get that on camera. Him going back to the hospital.
That's
right.
This is going to be bad.
That's
man.
Crazy.
That dude is going to get laid out in training camp. Like, bro, this is going to be bad.
Oh, goodness gracious. Gentlemen, like I said, unless you have anything else to add, we will go ahead and wrap this show up, man, because I know Jake is getting pinged and stuff like that, his release, but he is gladly representing L.A. I'm excited to see what happens, honestly, for that game, man. You know, I got Warriors fans at the house, man, you know, so we gotta represent, man. So we'll see how that plays out. Got a little Steph Curry, you know what I'm saying? Looking forward to this, man. So, you know, what? Yeah, let's get it.
All right.
Wrap it
where's
up,
the, where's the where's the leave button?
There is no leave button.
Look like look like he's struggling to stay up right now. I don't know how he's gonna stay up and watch the game tomorrow night.
Oh man, I'll be there. I'll be fine, man. I'll get my nap in before the game. Don't you worry about me. I'll get my nap in. I'll be there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'll have my coffee. It'll be good. What Gary? What?
I'm standing up for the game too.
Oh, it's easy for you. I was down in Portland.
Yeah, man. It's like 9 o'clock over there, man.
Yeah.
Man,
the game is gonna be 7 o'clock in Portland when that game starts.
And they're by 7:30, so hey, that's gonna be great. I'm staying up.
All right, I'm going to bed. I'm not listening to this.
Wrap it up, man. Have a good one. Have a good one, Rob. Have a good one, Jake. See you guys
good night,
tomorrow.
People.
Have fun. Nah,
good night,
next
y'all.
Tuesday,
good night.
See you next 11 Tuesday,
p.m.
bro.
Eastern,
next
people.
Tuesday.
Yeah, same
time,
good
same
y'all,
channel. Yep. Be good.
Good night.
I got problems.